Welcome to Girl, She Did That podcast with Bree and Sandy. All right, you ready for the song?
Yeah.
Okay, let's go ahead.
Welcome back to Girl, She Did That.
Okay, all right. I like the first part. The first part was real good. Okay, not too much. Okay.
You know it. Not too much.
Not too much, I know. Okay. All right, how you feeling today?
I'm feeling good. How you feeling?
Okay. I'm feeling pretty good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Good.
All right.
Before we get started, I wanted to kick off our merch. We have our merch, t-shirts, fanny packs. You know, I love a good fanny pack.
Oh, I got it. You want me to show the people?
Yes.
Okay, hold up. 1 second.
Show the fanny pack.
I'm back, people.
Okay. You got it?
I got it. The fanny pack is right here. Girl, she did have fanny pack. Isn't that cute?
So cute.
Okay. I also have the Girl, She Did That cup. Look at it. Like it. I also have the luggage, but it's currently in our storage. And my husband's not here for him to get it. So I'll bring it on the next episode.
Storage.
This luggage, it got to be stored somewhere.
Oh, I thought it was stored with all your other stuff.
The luggage, no.
Oh,
okay. We can do it on this episode, but it's cute.
You got the black one, right?
I got the black and the purple one.
You got two?
I got one.
Oh, it's black and purple.
Yes.
Got you. Okay. That's what I was like. I don't remember us doing a purple one, but I was like,
anywho, please buy the merchandise. Okay, people? No, I'm just playing.
Not please. Please. Merchandise, all the good stuff. So, let's get started.
Okay.
So, today, who we'll be honoring is Michelle Obama.
Yes, Miss Obama. I love you, girl. Oh, my God. I love you so much. I watch Love & Hip Hop, too. Oh, Miss Obama, girl, we love you so much. Oh my God. Oh my God. Yes. Like, you are the bad girl. Like, we want to be you one day without the presidency and all that. I don't want to do none of that.
None of it.
Because I need my people in the White House with me. Okay. We have a party like every day.
And I don't want to do it. I just don't need all them cameras. When I'm there, I look. I got to be put together every day. No.
But you know what? She living in her truth today. Okay.
For sure.
She doing what she want to do when she get ready to do it. That's it. You ain't got to be going through no divorce to be able to do what you want to do in a marriage.
That's so true, Sandy.
Girl.
I feel like people being able to do what they want to do in a marriage is very much a challenge.
Mm-hmm.
Because people, women specifically, end up thriving after they get out of a relationship. And I'm like, I thought the whole purpose was for you to be doing great with each other.
Yep.
Not great when y'all separate.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll talk about that. But back to Michelle. This podcast episode is about, girl, you glowing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that touches on with Michelle Obama. I think that, you know, her being able to grow and really talk about the things that she wants to talk about now that she's out of the White House. You know, her kids are older. You know, she's now able to do the things that she wants to do because she, you know, now has the freedom to do so. She doesn't have to live for someone else or be of service to someone else. She now has the opportunity to be of service to herself.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that her family does a great job at supporting her in this new chapter in her life.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know if
that was good. That was good. Ms. Obama, we love you. Keep shining and keep encouraging young women to step into who they are, because that's what it's all about. You know,
for sure.
I'm sure a lot of women helped her step into where she is, and she's just giving it right back. So I hope that we continue to do the same thing.
And we love your podcast.
We do, girl.
Love it.
Just so you know, I watch Love & Hip Hop too. That's my show. I mean, well, not so much now, but not so much now. But back in the day, I was glued in.
For sure.
Glued in.
For sure.
So I love to hear that that's one of your guilty pleasures as well.
Yeah. Nobody's going to beat Mimi and Jocelyn.
Mm-mm. And Mama D.
Like, that combination. And even with Erica and Scrappy, like, nobody was going to beat that's like, you couldn't make this up.
No.
Even if you wanted to. So the fact that they felt so comfortable being who they were, and we were just like, man, like, people are really living this life. And it's like, it's entertaining, but it's also like, are y'all okay?
Right.
Yeah, are y'all good?
Right.
I don't think so. I don't think so. Made. You know what I'm saying?
Anyway, talking about girl, you glowing. Let's get into the topic.
Let's get it.
So you Let's go get into the topic. You oh, you want me to go first?
Yeah.
Okay. 1 second, please. Here we go.
No, 1 second, please.
My iPad kind of, you know, went crazy. All right. How do you know when it's time to stop holding on to something that no longer serves you in your glowing up phase?
You know, I think that you know when to stop holding on to something when it no longer aligns with you.
Mm-hmm.
I think that if you have to continue to fight to keep it, then, I mean, because obviously in life you're going to fight for things. But if it is taking a toll on you to the point where, like when we talked about, like, you're not focusing on what you need to focus on, then it might be time to release it. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that earlier what we were talking about as far as, like, for some women, I think that we've also been in those shoes before, that you end up glowing after the relationship because you did just that.
Mm-hmm.
Where you were investing too much time and effort into someone who was just taking and consuming your energy, and now you're feeling depleted. Mm-hmm. So when you release that person, now you got all this energy and, like, want and need. Like, now all your goals and dreams and aspirations become a priority.
Right.
But they should have always been that. They should have always been a priority. It should have always been something that you strive for. But do you have a partner who allows you to have that space and that opportunity to go for your goals? Or do you have a partner who just feels like you should be serving them and, you know, the family that y'all have created?
Mm-hmm.
So I think that a lot of women's dreams get deferred because they have families, or they have a spouse, or they have a partner.
True.
And I just don't think that that's fair. I think that you could have both. Is it going to be a challenge? Absolutely. Absolutely. But I think that it's just so important for women to be more strategic with picking a partner, because I don't feel like it's okay or normal to put your dreams on hold forever.
Yeah.
For a partner or to achieve family. You know what I'm saying? Like, I just don't think that's fair. Now, if you have a conversation and you're like, hey, you know, I need 3 years. I need to get through law school and blah, 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 get a job, and then you can go to nursing school. Whatever agreement y'all come up with, then that's cool. Because sometimes, you know, things happen, or you can't both go after your dreams at the same time, depending on when you found each other. But for this person to become successful and you're just being a helpmate to another person's success, and that's not truly what you want to do, I just don't think that it's fair for you not to have the space to do so.
Yeah, I think, you know, really reflecting upon these last, like, month and a half, 2 months, about if something, you know, is kind of serving you. I think I've had a lot of questions recently about my career currently. Mm-hmm. And while I love what I do, but it's becoming extremely difficult right now. In this climate, I would say that. But I agree that having a partner who is willing to sway with you however you may want to go, right? Mm-hmm. It may be you may just want to stick it out and say, okay, maybe it'll get better, you know? Or maybe it's like, you know what? This is what my thoughts are. This is what I'm thinking about. I maybe might want to do. What is your mm-hmm. thoughts about that? You know? And having somebody who can stand in that with you
mm-hmm.
is so important. Because also, if that person is not able to serve you in different seasons of your life, then you got to reevaluate.
Correct.
So I think when you get fed up, you just get fed up. And you know when something is not serving you, essentially. You know that. Sure. We know that. It's just you making that choice to say, this is not for me anymore. This does not align with how I intend or want my life to go currently.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's okay.
You know, I think that, you know, people have to learn. I think that when people put you in a position to make you feel like it's a sacrifice,
mm-hmm.
you know, to have companionship and to want to be in these positions of, like, having to play small in order to receive all these things. And I just don't, I guess for me, I just don't feel like that's fair. So next question. What are some of the hardest parts about leaving your old self behind?
I think for me personally, I think some of the hard things was being selfish, like not having to worry about other folks. Like I do, you know, like, I mean, we're always worried about other people, but being able to move around the way that I intended, like I want to, I can do that now, but that also comes with a lot of conversations and planning, right? Yeah. Then I didn't have to do any of that. I am grateful to have a partner that allows me to be an individual still, but also including that person as well. I think the old me also came with people that I depended on that's no longer in this life. And so I miss that, because I often still need that guidance from those certain individuals that I kind of no longer have. And I'm kind of, I'm out here, you know, figuring it out. You know, I still have my mom and stuff like that, but it was those women that I really missed that part of my life where I could go to them and they could be objective in their thought process to help me walk through a situation. I do miss that, but also I appreciate all that now, because that helps me to be able to walk through certain situations without being hasty, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think what I mean. Another thing I miss about, I guess, me is the more of the confidence that I had. Mm-hmm. I feel like some of that has kind of dwindled some because of, I don't know if it's because of my current career situation or what, but I feel like the things that I would be strong-minded in, I'm not so strong in it right now. And so I've been really trying to ground myself more back into like the word of God, like show me the way that I should go. Like I don't ever want to lose that.
Yeah.
So I feel like I miss that confidence, Sandy, like boom and done, Sandy. Like I need to get her back. I need to get her back. Like 10 times. For real. For real. I'm like boom and done Sandy, like the wife. Correct. Sandy. But like, I need to be the boom and done Sandy single bringing into like marriagehood. Like, oh, boom and done. Yeah, no, it's not there.
So explain to me the difference, because I guess I'm just a little confused, because it's like,
she was fearless. She didn't care about what people thought. She didn't care what came out her mouth. She was, you know what I'm saying? I can't really be like that right now.
But do you feel like you miss the energy that it gave you? Like the
Yes, the I miss spark? That.
Okay.
Yes, I need that back in my life.
Because I also feel like you couldn't be that person because you now have a spouse. You know, you have bonus children. So you can't just say what's ever on your mind. You have to be a little bit more thoughtful in your
I am. I am. But sometimes I still need some of that. And certain spaces and areas in my life, I still need some of that. But I think some of that is me avoiding having the consequences that come with that.
Correct.
Right. Because it makes my life much easier. I'm all about convenience and things being easy. But also, like you said, I miss that energy, that spark. That's what I need more so than anything.
Okay. That was your question, right?
Huh?
That was your question.
That was yours. Okay, you ready for me?
Did not I too much.
No, go ahead. Sorry. Oh my God, my bad.
I thought this was our show, not the Sandy show.
No, I'm sorry. That old Sandy came back. She was right.
Real quick. All right, next. Anyway, the next question.
Boom.
Correct. Okay. But I think that you touched on a good point about missing your old self, being loyal to that and knowing that that's something that was beneficial to you. I think that that's one of the things that's probably the hardest part about leaving your old habits, not knowing the unknown of like what if you were to transform into, you know, a different person or try something new, not knowing what the end result was. And I think that oftentimes, I think that because I'm more of a risk taker. So that was my big thing, right? When I was younger, you know, I was like, yo, go. I don't care about what goes on, but now I'm more cautious.
Mm-hmm.
And that bothers me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I miss pack your shit and move, Bri.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You know, like, and I get a hit of it when I leave situations that don't serve me without explanation. Like, that's old Bri. But like I sometimes feel shamed of her when it comes to Aubrey, you know? So I guess that's my whole thing, is that like when we are talking about, you know, our old selves and transforming into new people, I think that that's where you end up missing the old you. You know, you miss that. Oh, it's kind of like a person who did drugs. Like they always reminiscing on when they did crack.
Right.
But all not the time, crack, they always got a good crack story.
Why I gotta be crack though?
Because crack is a drug that like I always wanted to try, but I was too scared.
What?
I know.
You wanted to try crack?
Yeah, like cocaine. Crack cocaine.
Girl.
Everybody seemed like they had so much fun on it. Like let's look at Whitney and Bobby. Everybody wants a Whitney and Bobby love. But no. That was due to, well, not crack, because she said that was whack. Cocaine. You know?
Yeah, but that's because it made things feel better in that moment. But after that was over, clearly, you back to regular life.
Yeah, but I mean, it's the same thing with what we talking about. We just ain't using drugs.
Thank
like,
God.
After you got done cussing somebody out, you didn't feel good about that at all the time. You were like that.
Yes, I did. It made me feel better.
Wow. But if you weren't cuss out your husband, you wouldn't always feel good about that.
No,
you,
I can't.
You
I
have
can't,
to go back and apologize.
That. I can't do that because he's way too nice.
But that's all I'm saying.
I can't, is I can't
that
do
we're doing it just sober.
I mean, yeah, but so I
imagine
wouldn't.
If you had, you know what I'm saying? It's just that crack, well, cocaine is just like, oh, it's a horrible drug. But like, if more people were doing it, it would be like eventually normalized. Like, let's not act like we don't know how psychology works. But all I'm saying is,
well, it's better than fentanyl, but I ain't gonna get into that.
No, ain't that like,
fentanyl is killing motherfuckers.
Correct.
Crack, like, do you know, we know some, like, old crackheads that's still doing crack and, like, still, hey, at the family function. You know what I'm saying? Like,
okay, but that's what I'm saying. Like, that's my point. And then if you really sit down and get them a few drinks, they gonna talk about when they were a crackhead.
But they still a crackhead. But they still a crackhead. They still a crackhead. Okay.
I mean, you are correct.
I mean.
Still crackheads. But anywho. Back to, get on topic.
Okay, sorry. Stuff okay. To choose, sorry.
So yeah, so I think that that's probably the hardest part of leaving yourself behind is reminiscing on your old self. However, I think that it needs to be a balance. Like, I still think that you still need to have a voice, you know? You still need to be able to express yourself. I still need to take risks. I still need, and like you, I think both of us were similar as far as like younger, I didn't really care much about what people thought. But now in my 30s, and it's too much of like, you too old for this, you too old for that. And I'm just like, I'm just a girl. Okay?
Right.
I'm just a girl. And sometimes I don't want to be all this 30-something-year-old. I don't want to do it. I don't want to do that. I don't want to do none of that, what y'all talking about. Because it puts me in a box. But y'all don't like boxes. I don't like that. So
I don't want you to be in a box.
Right. But I feel like when you're in your third, when you reach your third, like literally it's like a sentence. It's like, oh yeah, like all that stuff you did in your 20s, stop that. Because you're in your 30s. You know what I'm saying? Every time you're trying to seal a point in a conversation, oh, I'm in my 30s. I don't do that because I'm in my 30s.
Because you in your what?
Yeah, I'm in my 30s. You know what I'm saying? And now I'm talking about mid-30s. Like, oh no, I'm in my mid-30s, okay? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, what's your point? So it's like, what is it that you could take a risk in your 30s that doesn't play in your mind? Like, bitch, you in your 30s. You know what I'm saying? And that's what I struggle with, is that like, but then I'm just like, I always think about like, you know, when it's time for me to, you know, go on to glory, I just don't want to be on my hospital bed being like, yeah, I should have did that. Because you're always seeming like you're too old for something. But when you get older, you're like, oh, I was so young. So it's like, just do it. Just do it.
We still young today.
For sure. That's what I'm saying. So when we get in our 50s, we're going to be like, oh man, like, this was still so young. But like, we felt so old at 30s.
Well, at least I'll be retired by then. Jesus. Okay, sorry.
Right. But that's what I'm saying. But like, but would you have done everything you wanted to do? And desire to do.
I mean, I am every day intending to live my best whole life.
For sure.
You know what I'm saying?
So, yeah.
Okay. Oh, next. Okay. You're giving me the look. All right.
Yeah.
How do you celebrate your growth and the woman that you are becoming? Oh, are you not celebrating?
I'm not doing a very good job at that.
That's a part of self-care. Why are you not celebrating?
No, I mean, but if I do celebrate myself, I don't. I guess like now when I think about celebrating myself, I think about how I talk to myself versus like when I have a closing, I might go to like one of my favorite restaurants or something like that, or I might go get some ice cream or something like that. Like I celebrate myself in that way, but I think that where I want to celebrate myself is capturing those moments. That when I do have moments of feeling like doubtful or like I'm not enough or whatever the case may be, being able to reflect on the celebratory moments of like, no, like you really have done a lot because you've accomplished this, you've gone through this, A, B, and C. So I think that I just, for me, celebrating needs to just go to another level mentally. That's it. That's what I mean by that. But like, yeah, like going to get a treat, I think I overload on self-care. I always think I need something sweet.
Yeah, but like self-care is also beyond just that.
What is?
Rhea, stay on
What
topic.
is?
That's another conversation.
What is? What is?
It's you is you like celebrate you.
Yeah,
Celebrating
I
everything
can
that you
tell you.
are. Not eating no cookie. Like
You do
I'm just saying, like
it,
okay,
Joe.
for instance, like your birthday last year, right? You know, we came there and everything. We had a great time. But like that was a moment, like, you know what I'm saying? She is this girl, like this is my girl. Like, we would literally do anything for you because you that girl. And to
Okay, this little
celebrate,
thing. This ain't
what?
an episode to be crying, okay? So chill
I
out.
don't you ain't got to cry, but I'm just telling you, like,
I'm tender.
okay, be tender. That's good. Show the people your eyes sweating. But it's okay. Like, it's like those are the moments where we like those type of moments where you need more of those moments, you
For
know,
sure.
more of birthday moments, more of, I think that's why birthdays are so important to me, because I feel like that's the one time a year where I actually get to reflect about how good I've been to other people, you know what I'm saying? And that my life is not in vain, if that makes sense.
I like that. My birthday's coming up, and I did not think about it like that. I was like, yeah,
I know.
another birthday, you know what I'm saying? Happy birthday, happy birthday. Exactly. So, but that's what I'm talking about. Like, that's the thing I need to work on, taking it to the next level when it comes to celebrating myself. But yeah, that's where I'm at.
Okay. All right. You want to go to the next question?
You didn't answer, did you?
Oh, you want me to answer? Okay. How do you celebrate your growth? By buying stuff off Shein that I can't buy no more because the tariffs went up.
Girl,
Let me
they got
tell
all
you.
you can lemon coupons.
Girl, I love Shein. Like, I'm sad that they didn't went up on these prices. But anyway.
I mean, I agree with that for sure.
I guess I try to, okay, like my book, for example. I was telling my mom, I was like, you know, like I'm really feel for like promoting it. And she was like, why? And I was like, because I really had some stuff I needed to say. And that's the way that I said it. You know, that's the way that I was able to be resistant towards the world currently. You know what I'm saying? But I need to celebrate that more because there was one time, like in my life, even being like in elementary school where I was counted out because I didn't know how to write, or I didn't know how to spell, or I didn't know how to. Okay, so in celebrating who I am becoming, you know, I was talking about a little bit about the whole publishing my book and all that. I feel like I really didn't want to promote it because I felt scared, right? Which is why I feel like I need that old Sandy to kind of come back, right? Because I knew that it was things that I wanted to say, but also was my way of resisting towards kind of what's going on like in society right now. So I felt scared, but also I felt like this was my time to show my growth of all the things that I've been through and be able to provide those personal narratives into a way that could help other people as they experience like racial trauma and stuff like that, because that topic is so important to me. So I think that's a way that I have chosen to celebrate myself, I guess, in finding certain things to do in order to be able to do that. So.
Okay. The third question. How do you give yourself permission to grow beyond what people expect of you?
How do you give yourself permission to grow beyond what people expect of you? I don't know. What would your answer be to that while I'm thinking?
I think that when it comes to giving yourself permission to be who you are is a very tough thing in this world, I feel like for anybody, there's a certain way and structure in how you should live your life, how you should present yourself and all those good things. And it's like, well, what happens if my life doesn't align with what you expect of me? Like, for instance, like, you know, in my family, we're very big and heavy on education. Everybody in my family, in my immediate family, has at least a bachelor's degree. And honestly, I feel like as I get older, there's just a lot of things I could have did without a bachelor's degree, in the sense of the things that I want to do, like this podcast. I didn't need a degree to do this podcast. We just needed a vision. And I think that oftentimes we're not encouraged to really be who we want to be, but more so being safe. So I think that when you start to give yourself permission to be who you are, people's expectations kind of fade, especially when the things that you do that makes you happy and that you're passionate about actually works out. Mm-hmm. You'll be surprised how much family and friends may project fear onto you because they're like, well, what about this? And did you think about that? And, you know, all these things feel like chains on you. It feels like restriction. It feels like, oh, I didn't think about that, or I should think about more of that. And it's like, it at times it prevents you from doing. Right. And that's really, and it prevents you from being consistent. It prevents you from, you know, doing the things that God has already spoken to you about. But, you know, you have to leave space to understand, like, I understand, you know, the fear and the unknown as witnessing somebody's life, but also, you know, teaching people and letting them know how they can support you. Because at times, I think that people just don't know how to support you. So mm-hmm. you think that restricts your permission to be who you are. Mm-hmm. And, you know, because your way may not necessarily sound like it's a plan. It might just sound like an idea.
Yeah.
And that can scare people a lot. So even if it is just an idea, you still have to tell people, like, how to support you. And push forward regardless of how people feel. So I think that you just have to really just go through the motions and you know, eventually, as long as you're consistent, it will eventually work out and people will adjust. I've seen them happen in personal life. I've seen it happen outside of my personal life. People will uh-huh. always adjust when it works out. So give yourself permission to do what you want to do because it's going to be hard either way. You might as well be hard. It might as well be hard with something that you're actually passionate about.
Yeah. I was thinking about what you were saying as far as the generational of doing things that feel safe. Mm-hmm. You know, like, you know, our parents and grandparents and before them, you know, they had jobs, you know, so they because they were safe, right? They did jobs mm-hmm. that were safe that would allow them to save and retire. And that will be what that is. Mm-hmm. And I feel like now we are like kind of just doing what kind of whatever we want to do now, not knowing if it's going to be safe or not.
Mm-hmm.
Right. You know what I'm saying? But we are fiercely just going out here, creating paths and avenues for ourselves. Right.
Mm-hmm.
We hope it work out. We don't know, but we do hope that it works out. And I think that's what gives us the permission to be able to do what we want. You know what I'm saying? To be able to, people going to have expectations, but your expectations don't have to be what other people's are.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what gives you that permission to mm-hmm. live the way that you want to, or to do mm-hmm. the things that you want to. I know certainly there have been times where maybe people didn't agree with certain decisions that I have made for my life, but again, it's my life,
mm-hmm.
right? If it doesn't work out, then I'm going to have to be the one to bear those consequences.
Mm-hmm.
If our parents keep telling us not to touch that stove, we're going to touch it because we want to see it actually feel if it's hot. So mm-hmm. we have to just go through that experience though. And I think that's the permission that for me, I have to go through that experience myself personally in order for me to learn and grow from that.
I agree. Same. I mean, I think that once you become an adult, you have to break the voice of permission, you know, because you've been trained to think about safety, what ifs, the failures, what if it doesn't work out, you know what I'm saying? But you have to literally, like, mentally break that voice of, like, what people always say, like, with positive things, like, but what if it does work out? You know, mm-hmm. I will only know once I make it to the other side. So, you know, you either give yourself permission or you give yourself permission to regret. So, because you'll be very surprised. I think also, you know, with our parents getting older and us having certain conversations with them, they're now talking about what they wish they would have done when they were younger. And when you really reflect on it, at times it was something that they were fearful or they made you more cautious of. Oh, but later on to find out, like, that's ultimately what you want to do. So just imagine, let's say that, you know, with traveling, right? We all know that our parents like to give us the news, the horrible news of whatever is going on in that country or whatever, right?
Yeah.
But imagine if you listened to their voices and you didn't travel because of the danger of other countries, as if America's just so safe, right?
Right, right.
Imagine you listen to those voices and later on in their later years, they're like, man, I wish I would have traveled more.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just think about how much resentment you would have. It's like, I didn't do what I wanted to do because of your fears.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I got my own stuff. So you're not even addressing your own stuff. You're basically living out somebody else's fear. Ew. What? So it's like, you know, regardless of what people think or what they say, like you said, you have to deal with those consequences. But I don't want to deal with the consequence of never trying, because that's the consequence.
Yeah, that's true.
So, yeah.
All right. My turn. Okay. All right. What role does failure play in the reintervention process?
One more time.
What role does failure play in reinventing yourself?
That's a good question. I think that failure plays a huge role in the sense of now you know what to expect. Right? Like now, because it's always like the fear of like the unknown, like we've been talking about in this episode, is that like, oh, I don't know this and I don't know that. But like now you do.
Now
you know that you need to communicate more. Now you know that you need to follow up more. Now you know that you need to, you know, be seen more. You know, type of thing. Like when you're like, I guess that's what I think about, like even like my career in real estate. You know, you're like, oh yeah, you got to get more leads. That means you need to talk to more people. That means that, you know, if you're not closing as much, if we get to the end of the year, around November, December, we always have a end of the year annual, how did you do this year? Right. Mm-hmm. And so of course, in many situations, people don't want to call it failure because it seems harsh, but I mean, it is what it is.
Right.
But if you don't reach particular goals or things, or you lose clients, you always have to reevaluate and be like, okay, right. You know, was it, you know, I didn't follow up, you know, my clients didn't feel like they heard from me enough. They didn't feel like I was advocating for them, or, you know, did they feel like I didn't have enough resources? Did they feel like I was knowledgeable? Like, those are the type of things that you have to take the emotion out and be like, okay, what is it that I need to work on in order to reach my goals, in order to be where I need to be, versus the person who never even tried to go get their real estate license. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you never know what you're going to face. But I think that having challenges in situations is always a room and space to grow from the situation. So that's kind of how I think of it, is that, like, it's going to sting. Give yourself space to feel hurt. I still feel like we're human. You should give yourself permission to feel disappointed that you lost a client, or feeling like, you know, that transaction didn't really make me feel good, or that relationship, you know, yeah, you know, he may have cheated, but like, I also wasn't giving him enough attention. Like, you know, taking your part in these situations and getting better at it is really the best advice I can give as far as doing better from failed relationships, but failed situations. But obviously, being cheated on, you shouldn't be like, well, I need to show up more. Like, that shouldn't be your immediate thing.
Right.
You still feel the betrayal, but also reflecting on, like, okay, well, now that I'm in a better space, headspace, I can't think about the part that I played. I'm not taking responsibility for your.
Right.
Not too much, but I am. You know, realizing that I am a person who is also a participant in this relationship.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I am also a person who is a participant in this business relationship. Mm-hmm. And that I want, you know, my clients to have the best experience. I want my partner to have the best experience when it comes to me. So in order to do that, I have to be mindful of how I show up.
Yeah. I think failure is motivation. I do know that there are individuals who have failed at things and they don't try it again because the fear of failing it. But for me, I feel like that's motivation to want to do it even more. So I feel like when reinventing yourself, when you're in that process, failure should be expected. It shouldn't be something like, okay, well, I feel so I'm not going to reinvent myself. I'm not going to change. I'm not going to grow. That is a part of that process. And so people should expect it, right? And you should prepare yourself for it so you can know how to move through it and move past it.
But I guess like, how do you prepare yourself for failure? I mean, obviously that's another question, but you know what I'm saying? Like, I guess like I've always thought that way too. Like, you know, there's going to be some failure, but it's like, to what extent? Like, for you, you are a psychologist. What if you have a situation where you're talking to somebody and, you know, that mistake, that failure could come at a cost of their mental state? You know what I'm saying? Or you document something incorrectly or not in the APA format type of situation. You know, and we're now in the real world where you could potentially get fired. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's not necessarily much of like, I guess it's just, it puts you in a position to not take more risk when you are in those type of situations.
Well, I mean, I think is we know that we are all infallible. So we will make mistakes, right? We will do those things. However, if you made a decision in that particular realm and the decision and you didn't consult about it, there was no evidence of you consulting. There was no evidence of you, you know, trying to do different interventions and all that, then yeah, you will suffer the consequences of that. And even if you still did all of those things, there are still going to be consequences behind it. Right. And so knowing that you are going, particularly in that field, that there are some legal ramifications that could occur during your career. Right. And I think I learned that on internship, you know, like really preparing myself for what my career could potentially, you know, be. So even in that, even if you think you've done everything and followed every policy that you could potentially follow, there's still somebody that's going to say you still didn't do enough. And then you have to sit with that.
Yeah.
And sitting with that will cause a lot of anxiety, will cause a lot of different, you know, things. But it's important to have those coping skills to deal with those failures or those things that come up. Because if you don't, then you're not going to be very well. You're just not.
Okay. Well, that wraps up our episode. Again, don't forget to get the merch on our site. It's on in our link in Instagram. Again, we have our fanny packs, cups, all that good stuff. And then don't forget to listen to our podcast on all different platforms, Spotify. We are also on YouTube, Instagram, TikTok, Facebook. We're everywhere. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, global. We are. Not global.
Until next time.
All right. Bye.